Hey, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today. Lord Jesus, we honor you this morning. We give you our thanks and praise. Lord Jesus, that you are Master, our Lord, our teacher, our guide, our comforter, our healer. Lord Jesus, you are our Savior. You are above and beyond. You are the beginning and the end. You are the Alpha, the Omega. You are the first and the last. Lord Jesus, you are to be honored and praised this morning. Why don't you lift up a clap? You can't just, we've got to do something. We've got to make a noise somehow. We've got to do something, some noise, some way to express our heart of gratitude. We mightn't be able to sing the top of our lungs, but we can certainly do something in our hearts and receive a sense of joy and life. We might be masked up, but there's life and joy inside of us, right? Lord Jesus, this is going to be a wonderful, wonderful morning. Why don't you just grab a seat? I want to take you into a journey. Bit of a different morning this morning. I had all kinds of things that the Lord was showing me this week, and I decided to turn it into a devotion around communion. So this might be just a long communion message, and it might just become the message. Let's just see where this goes. But I just got thinking about the kingdom of God this week. I got excited, in fact, for a while now. I've been excited about the kingdom of God, which is immense. And it starts with God creating this beautiful world that we live in the beginning. And you've got this picture of perfection, of just beauty. Beautiful world that we live in. Isn't it beautiful? If you ever travel to anywhere, even the Blue Mountains, you know, you don't have to go far to see the grandeur of God's design. And this beautiful picture that we get in the beginning is that Adam and Eve walking in the garden with God. You guys can hop down if you want. Thanks. But this fellowship, God himself in the midst of his beautiful creation is walking in the garden, talking with Adam and Eve. It's that sense of paradise here on earth. And we all know the story that, you know, evil enters the garden and the world gets corrupted and people go strange and astray and start. What they do is they replace God's kingdom rule and they start taking up their own little kingdoms. So what's mine is more important, what's yours, and divisions and stuff happens, and the Bible calls it sin, and it has ramifications all the way through the life. And if you've ever lived a minute on the planet, you'll know what that's like, right? What should be beauty and joy and freedom becomes division and hardship and difficulties. And what should be the most precious things become the hardest, like family life or workplace or marriage or raising kids or friendships, you know? So what started out so beautiful, that's kind of just soured, but there's still beauty in there, isn't there? Do you know what? It's all coming back. It's not lost. It's all coming back. Let me show you, let me take a little journey in the scriptures this morning. Jesus, when he starts his ministry, Jesus is on a rescue mission to reclaim planet Earth. To take it back to what it was like in the beginning and to reclaim it. And so he enters the kingdom of God. Comes in. Where's that word kingdom? Let me just take a little sideways thought here. Kingdom doesn't so much relate to our world today. You know, the best we have is the queen. But it's not like the kingdom of old where, you know, the king ruled with an iron fist and you had the subjects that were under the kingdom. It could be a little bit like corporate culture. Have you ever worked in a workplace where it's clearly defined as this is how our company works? Here's an example, Toyota. Probably it is the most successful car company on the planet. And right at its corporate headquarters, it has five values. These are the principles of the founder. Just stay with me for a second. We'll come back to Jesus. The principles of the founder, Toyota. He said, always be faithful to your duties. Always be studious and creative, striving to stay ahead of times. Always be practical and avoid frivolousness. Always strive to build a home-like atmosphere at work that is warm and friendly. Always have respect for spiritual matters and remain grateful at all times. These are the values of Toyota, right? And if you worked for Toyota, or if you even drive a Toyota, you have these values, you know, simplicity and ruggedness over beauty, probably. But everywhere you see a Toyota, these values are expressed, right? Every time you drive a Toyota, these values of the company founder are spread throughout the world. I'm not here to preach Toyota, if you know me well. But I thought this great illustration. It's just like an organization. So when Jesus comes in, he brings his corporate culture. He brings his ways. He brings his power to change the world back to what he wants it to be. And then it infiltrates all throughout the world. So that every church right around the world, every believer carries corporate culture, kingdom culture, Jesus culture. That's how it works. So when Jesus arrives, Luke 4, back on planet Earth, this is amazing. He's in a synagogue up north. And he's handed a scroll. And he goes to it and he finds Isaiah 61. And he starts describing kingdom culture, what it's like. And this is what it says. It says, the Spirit of the Lord. Jesus reads this out. It's kind of one of his first acts that he does. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. Good news. The kingdom is all about good news. Good news. I'm just going to find it. You know that poor means afflicted. That's what the word means. Jesus is good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. To find the people who are brokenhearted, where life has trodden and destroyed people's hearts. He's there to patch them up and make them whole again. He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives. That's those people who have been taken away. I think people who have been stolen, taken. And then the opening of the prison to those who are bound. So people who are trapped in prison, Jesus is going to release them with liberty. And he says, I'm going to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. He wants to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, to give them beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit. They may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Do you know what that is? That's a kingdom statement. So Jesus is coming and he says, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to heal the brokenhearted. I'm going to set captives free. I'm going to deliver people who are stuck in life. And do you know what he does throughout his 3 years on earth? Exactly that. That's what he does. Do you know why he does it? Because that's what the kingdom of God is like. That's what it's like in heaven. So he brings heaven's culture down on earth and it starts infiltrating all through Galilee, all through Jerusalem,
all these people start getting it, and his disciples get it, and they start reproducing that culture. It's called the church. And he starts spreading this incredible news. And do you know in Luke 11, when Jesus tells us how to pray, he says, pray that your kingdom comes. Pray that your kingdom comes. We are to pray that God's kingdom comes. It's something crazy. Come with me. Let me show you this. This is Revelation 21. This might just change the way you view life. Revelation 21. Revelation is a vision that was given to the Apostle John. He was late in life. He was probably close to 100 years old. And then God takes him into this vision, and he sees incredible things. But right at the end, and it's almost the very last chapter, it's the second last chapter of the whole Bible, John gets a picture of the future, of what is to happen. Look at this. Verse 2, 21 verse 2, I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. See that? This new creation, New Jerusalem, this new city of God is coming out of the heavens. Where's it going to rest? Reading, and I heard, verse 3, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. What does that sound like? Adam and Eve in the garden. God is fixing up, and again, God will live with his people, just like he did in Jesus' time. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be as their God. Verse 4, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Kingdom culture, look at that. Death, mourning, crying, all part of what we have now, but not in the future. He said, he was seated on the throne, said, behold, I am making all things new. I tell you, there's a coming kingdom. What we saw in kind of shorts and the brief of Jesus, we will see in full at the end of time, when God recreates and makes all things new on planet Earth. So what was so beautiful will still be beautiful. What was amazing will be amazing. But we won't have all the bad stuff, right? Wars, gone. Famine, gone. COVID, gone. Cancer, gone. Sickness, gone. Relationship dysfunction, gone. All the things that we struggle with, all the things that are of this world's current kind of poise will be gone. When God's kingdom is reestablished here on earth, it's coming. It's why Jesus says, pray that your kingdom come on earth. Now, what's our response here and now while we wait? Because we live between these two tensions, don't we? We live in the reality of stuff that's bad sometimes. Pain, suffering, sickness, death, relationships, poverty, joblessness, homelessness, all these things that are around us, the reality of our current world, but it's not the future. Because it says, pray that your kingdom comes. And when Jesus came on earth, he did away with those things. He starts healing people. He starts providing miraculously. He starts doing all these things. He starts raising people from the dead. And then he says, pray that God's kingdom would come. And then we see the church explode. And wherever the church explodes, we get this culture this kingdom culture that brings forward this new Jerusalem, this new kingdom, and now it's a reality here on earth. When we pray for kingdom breakthrough, we're praying for God's kingdom culture to come and wrap itself around planet earth now. Now. Preempting. It'll be in part, right? It'll be in part. We'll still have problems until this happens. But we can move somewhere. We can go from here to here. In a few moments, we're going to have communion and pray. I got a bit ahead of myself in my Bible plan and found a spare week. So we'll resume that next week. But you know, I just thought, wouldn't it be incredible to pray together, to pray over each other? I wish I could have an altar call, do all kinds of stuff. You know, I better not. But that's what I wanted to do. I want to lay hands on people and pray for people. But we can still do something like this, even with distance and all that. I want you to see one more thing before we take communion and pray. 1 Corinthians 11 is Paul's instructions to the church on how to do communion. Right? So Paul is the early founder of the church, and he's very much wanting it to be done well. 1 Corinthians 11. He says, "Now I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you. That the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it." "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." He's saying, keep doing this. Keep remembering my death. In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this as often as you drink in remembrance of me." And you know, the church has been doing this since the beginning in all kinds of formats, all kinds of places, you know, big meals and small, but it's a remembrance. What I want you to see here is so significant. It says in verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." You see that? Until he comes. Proclaim actually means to celebrate. Means to shout out, celebratory. It's like when we take this community together, and just hang on to it for a sec, we'll do it together. We're gonna celebrate, because proclaim means to tell out in a celebratory. It's like, you know, if you watched Ash Barty win last night. Sam Worcester. I bet, you know, people are going, "Oh yeah, good win." Or if, you know, if you're going for Queensland and somewhere they managed to get up on Wednesday night, you know, yeah, good on you, Queensland. We celebrate these things. You know, we proclaim. Did you see that tennis smash last night? Did you see the Blues win 3 in a row? You know, we proclaim it. We celebrate it. That's what this word means. Just getting carried away. That's what it means. What are we proclaiming? The Lord's death means the Lord's victory, the Lord's completion of the old way of life, of sin and death and disease and all that kind of stuff. We're saying it is finished, and we're proclaiming it until what? He comes. Until he comes down out of heaven to make all things new. We're going to proclaim it, and we're going to believe it, and we're going to thank God for all these incredible things that is going to happen in the new kingdom. That's why communion is so important. It's not a remembrance just of, "Oh yeah, he died." But we are declaring. We're proclaiming the victory we have. It's a victory. feast. This is supposed to be a victory feast that celebrates and proclaims a brand new season that he's coming. And after we've done this together, we're going to spend some time for the here and now, praying for God's kingdom to come here and now, for people who need to be released, set free, captives. You know, all the things that Isaiah 61 talks about. Grab the bread. Let's do this together. It says here, he broke the bread. This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This body, Jesus is broken for you. For you. For your wholeness. Broken that you might be whole. Eat it. Agreement between God and people. Not based on what we do, based on the grace of God for us. Not based on how well we perform, based on His love for us. He says, do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Remember His love for you. Some minutes to start praying for people, kingdom breakthrough in their lives. Jesus said that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him because he was anointed to bring good news to the poor, to the afflicted. Anyone here afflicted? No, just raise your hand. If you feel like you've been afflicted, you've been, that means just tossed around and damaged, and just life isn't quite going the way. It's like you're trying to walk in a direction, so people keep, you know, you keep being misguided or mistreated, or just some way you're not able to do what you want to do because of opposition in some way. Jesus says, I got good news. Four things I'm going to pray for. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Brokenness. People around us are broken. Big time broken. Broken body, soul, spirit. Broken emotions. Situations in life have smashed them around and literally broken them on the inside. That's not right. Felt like when I was praying this last night, because it's time for us to rise up and take back what should be, not to put up with brokenness around us, but actually to claim healing in Jesus' name. Let's not just see things around us. It's like the Good Samaritan, just walk past brokenness. But we have the answer to brokenness. We have the solution to real brokenness, real healing on the inside. I'm telling you. Body, soul, spirit. That's what he's saying. Jesus can heal it. This side of eternity. Here and now. Let's not put up with things that just are. Let's take back what is in our kingdom. So we've got affliction, brokenness, captives. Captives is that old idea that, you know, an army would come and take away the women and children, you know, or as captives, you know, part of army plans. under. They take away and put them in prison. Worse. It's like if you've been taken away from your true destiny. If you've been sidetracked, and it's like you're stuck in a place that you don't want to be. You're in a position that you never intended to be, but you're there and you're stuck. Do you know what? There's liberty coming. Not just for you, but for those around you who are in that situation. There's liberty coming. There's somebody who's got the key can open that jail and pull you out and put you back where you're supposed to be. And the opening of the prison to those who are bound. That word means tied up. You found yourself tied up in things, stuck. Again, there's a key to that. Sometimes of your own doing. It doesn't matter. Because Jesus says, I'm going to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. His love, His mercy, His forgiveness, His freedom is coming. It's coming. It'll come when the kingdom comes, but it can come ahead of the kingdom, right? And He's going to grant those who mourn beautiful headdress instead of ashes, oil of gladness instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of the faint spirit. Joy and life start flowing out. Where there was brokenness, now there's joy. Where there was captivity, now there's freedom. Here, now, kingdom breaks. Who's with me? Yeah. So if there's one thing, just even one thing in there that's you, I want you to raise your hand. Let's pray together. Start praying, church. Start praying for the people around you. Let's see kingdom break. Just keep your hand up for a moment. Lord Jesus, right now, right across the church, online, raise up your hands in your lounge room, in your bedroom, wherever you are. If you need kingdom breakthrough with these things that God brings, come, Holy Spirit, right now, freedom. Freedom from sickness, freedom from illness, freedom from the impacts of sin, the impacts of other people's sin. Lord, freedom and healing and restoration, Lord Jesus. Lord, freedom from pain and suffering that's been caused. Healing. You say you come to heal the brokenhearted, to bind up their wounds. Lord, wherever there's somebody who's brokenhearted, where there's been things that have gone on in their world that's not their fault, and it's been deep, deep pain. Lord Jesus, healing right now. Healing. Healing in Jesus' name. Colin, there's a season coming. My goodness, it feels like God is raising you up to this time where there's a man of wisdom that will just, you'll speak a word and people will flock to that word because God's in you and God wants to use you mightily, not in huge flashy ways, but in a real way of substance that will heal people, that will people will just draw to you, to your strength and to your wisdom, because it's inside of you, and God is going to heal everything inside of you at the same time. It's like as you pour out and love the people in your world, you'll be completely healed, completely set free, this side of heaven in Jesus' name. I tell you, God, the Holy Spirit here wants to set people free. And this is the word that was on my heart this morning as I woke up. And it means a bird wheeling in flight. That's what that picture, that word means. It means a bird taking off and catching a current. That is where people are going to be this morning. So if you're feeling like there's a space where you've just been taken out of life, desperate and just stuck, you picture yourself right now free. Free in Jesus' name. Free. Dan, there's healing coming for your body, your emotions, the things that you used to dream of as a little boy. The desires of your heart, they're still there. Those things are coming, Dan. It's like God is going to take away the calluses and the impacts of things that people have done to you, and you're going to be free on the inside. There's going to be a huge smile on your face and a joy that's unstoppable in Jesus' name. There's going to be healing coming out of you. You're going to just not just heal plants, but heal people as well. Holy Spirit. Pastor Sam, there's a time of restoration, and there's going to be a joy, an absolute joy. I just see a bright, bright future of healing, body, soul, spirit, everything. I tell you, this is your time to rise, your time to be healed, your time to shake off anything in that past. Of your heart. What do you want to see set free? What do you want to be free of? You can leap, smile, be filled with life. Liberty to the captives. Lydia and Ollie, I didn't even see them before. Holy Spirit, rest on this couple. Right now. Right now, in Jesus' name. Right now, come. Come. Come, Holy Spirit. Come. Complete healing. Complete rest. Complete joy. Complete the work he started. Just feel that word complete for you guys. It will be completed. It will be done. It will be complete. Jesus. Jesus. Wholeness. Completeness. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Into the kingdom. It's like starting a job at a company. You know, you got to sign up somewhere. You. It's like enlisting in the army. You got to do it. You can't just hang on the edges. There's a point where you go, I'm in. And if you're not in on the kingdom of God, it's a prayer away. It's a simple, hey, I want in this morning. I want to be part of this kingdom. It's amazing. It's simply a prayer. And it goes like this: Jesus, let me in. Forgive me. Take me on. I want to live for you and your kingdom forever. Amen. It's so simple. But you have to pray. You have to mean it. And what happens is that the Holy Spirit comes inside of you and starts healing you and transforming you and take you on the journey. It's going to be the greatest thing you've ever experienced. This morning, jump in online. Jump in. Experience the greatest journey you've ever embarked on. Oh, Jesus. We're going to just stand and sing the rest of this song. Just, I want you to sing it as a destiny. No, you can't sing it, can you? All right. Sorry, forgot. Just stand anyway. Declare it under your masks. And let's just liberate ourselves, the kingdom of God.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.